Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard. Was hard, but not anymore, thanks to WonderSuite from Bluehost. Answer a few questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make
sounds great.
Let's get it.
Everyone, and welcome back to JoJo's Empowering Journey Podcast, the podcast where we dive into inspiring stories and explore the journeys that empower individuals to make a positive change. I'm your host, JoJo, and today's episode is truly special as we have a remarkable guest with us. His mission is to transform global perspectives on mental health. Please join me in welcoming Ricardo Zuleta. Ricardo, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No problem. Ricardo, before we delve into your incredible work, could you share a bit about your personal journey and what led you to embark on this mission of changing the narrative on mental health?
Yeah, best way to explain that is probably explain a little bit of about my nonprofit. So when I lost my brother to suicide, I learned that depression and anxiety, you know, just like happiness, they're not the cause, but natural. They're really just natural and temporary emotional responses based on our perspectives, not really our situations. You know, that's why rock stars commit suicide while the homeless are the ones struggling to stay alive. That doesn't make sense. Everyone knows to live life to the fullest, but we still complain about Mondays, traffic, or the weather, right? It's just human nature to really take life for granted. You know, sometimes we get inspired or we get hopeful when you hear great stories and appreciate life more when, you know, someone passes away. But it's usually temporary, right? And then you got motivational quotes that you're exposed to, but they're meaningless unless you make a decision. So, you know, after talking to like probably thousands of people, I've learned that it's really the negative perspectives that evolve into anxiety, depression, drug abuse, eventually become suicidal tendencies. That's the last thing, obviously, if you succeed too. But the problem is, you know, everyone's being taught to keep waiting for symptoms of depression or anxiety. And we're being told that people are depressed because they have depression, even though it doesn't make any sense to say people are happy because they have happiness. So it's really impossible to prevent, you know, any problems without being proactive. And that's something no one's really discussing. You know, you can't prevent cavities if you don't proactively brush your teeth, or prevent diabetes if you proactively don't eat a healthy diet, right? So basically, Start Day One is a nonprofit for mental health and suicide prevention, where we have a more proactive approach to helping people instead of reactively waiting for symptoms of mental health issues or suicidal tendencies, which is what most professionals and organizations focus on. So our mission is to inspire people to change their perspectives from waiting for one day to starting day one, which means there's a day two, day three. You know, we don't get overwhelmed with our problems because we have so much to do or change. We really just don't know where to start. So if anyone's listening here, when you find yourself complaining or making excuses in your own pursuit of happiness or fulfillment, it's not because it's impossible. You just haven't decided to do it yet.
Yes. And how do you define the role of perspectives in shaping our mental health? And can you provide an example from your own life where a change in perspective had a significant impact?
Well, basically everything that we do, you have to reverse engineer it. The most important thing is really the decision. That's what really shapes your future and everything that you do and what you end up with today, right? So what I decided to do is like, okay, if that's the most powerful thing, well, what allows us to make decisions? It's actually our perspectives, right? So our perspectives allow you to see the same things, the same situation in two different ways. And so, you know, you really have to figure out like, all right, what influences the decisions? It's our perspectives. Look at every guru that you know. They didn't eat a magic book or some kind of food or some magical powers. They simply change their perspective about their life. Like, look at every story that you know. So just a quick, like, personal experience on what I mean by perspective so that people can understand better. So I was snowboarding in the glades, basically in the trees area, right? The trees are like 10 feet apart. So when I was going through it, I would like go one turn, two, three, and then all of a sudden I almost hit a tree. And I get up again, it's annoying. And then I would go one, two, three, and I almost hit a tree again. I'm like, what the hell? And then my friends are cruising through this thing like nothing, right? Finally, freaking like, you know, snow plows me and puts snow on my face. And he said, yo, you all right? And I said, yeah, but how the hell do you guys do that? You guys are just going through this like it's nothing. And I'm waiting for this awesome advice from this guy, right? And he, because he's been snowboarding for like 15 years when I, this is years ago, but still, I was like, okay, what's his, you know, great advice? He tells me, dude, stop looking at the trees. Look at the path between the trees. And I was like, and then he just leaves. So I have no freaking choice. I have to go through this thing to get out of here, right? It's not going to be a helicopter picking me up. So I'm like, all right, don't look at the trees. Path between the trees, got it. And then I go, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. And I was like, holy. And I purposely stopped. And I'm like, how the hell? So the reason I'm telling people this is like, just by simply changing my perspectives, change the outcome. So a lot of people are trying to avoid these issues, avoid these problems, just like the trees. And what ends up happening is you keep bashing into something else. What you really do is change your perspective and looking at the path where you're going. For example, alcoholism, right? They always say it's alcohol, but because they're trying to avoid the alcohol, all of a sudden they hit the alcohol. But if you just really look at your path or your purpose, or, you know, what you're trying to accomplish, the alcohol simply like fades away. You don't even see it. Same thing with relationships. Yeah. Where, you know, you're looking for this like, oh, next time I'm not going to date an asshole. I'm not this one, not this one. And then bam, you find another one, you know? So it's kind of like, I guess what the importance of perspective is.
Right. In your advocacy work and your nonprofit, do you have specific educational initiatives or programs that aim to raise awareness and educate people about the importance of proactive mental health measures?
So it's really all about doing something, right? So for example, one of the, our theme color is teal. So that's T-E-A-L. I'm hoping that the color just simply acts as a reminder for us, right? Basically, it stands for things that you can give to anyone, which is your time, effort, attention, and love. Those are things you can do proactively to anyone. Stop waiting and then looking for symptoms like, oh, you know, my friend Jojo is not getting out of the room. Like, maybe now I'll give him a hug. Like, what? Are you waiting for someone to get out of a, or to not get out of a room before you do something? So everything we do is just simply trying to be proactive with everything. You know, we try to, like, for example, you know, when it comes to schools, when do you think they call for like some kind of suicide prevention talk? It's usually after a suicide happens. Doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It's called prevention, not reaction.
Instead of focusing on it before, right.
Yeah, and everyone seems to be more reactive rather than, you know, doing preventative things.
How do you believe that individuals, communities, and organizations collaborate to create a supportive environment for those struggling with mental health challenges?
Wait, say that again? How do we...
How can individuals, communities, and organizations collaborate to create a supportive environment for those struggling with mental health challenges?
So... I mean, I don't know about being like collaborative necessarily. What I'm suggesting is just doing something, period, right? Whether it's your family, friends, or anything like that. It's, you don't need a community to do that. You just start, you know? You hug your kid, you tell your kid, because I can guarantee you, if you tell your kid that he's a loser and he sucks and the whole system is against you and this and that and every negative thing in the world, I'm going to guarantee you mental health issues. But if you see a kid that you love up, you give them discipline and you tell them they're going to make it, they're going to be great, they have less chances of mental health. So when I say proactive, you just do it. It's the same thing with brushing your teeth. Are you going to wait for cavities or are you brushing your teeth tonight? And tomorrow and the next day, even though you have no cavities, no symptoms of it, nothing, right? Same thing with diet. Everyone knows to eat healthy and exercise. Who the fuck doesn't? Come on. Right. But still, we still end up being unhealthy. It's the same thing with your mental health and your physical health. It's not that nobody knows what to do. We don't need a community to come together and say, hey, how do we help people get healthier lifestyles and to, you know, to eat healthy and exercise? Like, dude, you tell your kids, stop eating sugar and stop eating crap. And, you know, so it's all about just being proactive, really.
Right, right. Mental health stigma remains a significant challenge. How do you believe that we can collectively work towards reducing stigma and promoting open conversations about mental well-being?
So I'm actually don't mind the stigma. There's nothing really wrong with stigma. We actually messed up really big because the reason we even started talking about stigma is because we wanted people to feel a little bit better, right? Because we tend to want to coddle people that are not feeling good. But when it's a, let's just pretend you have a little kid. Let's not, sometimes there's things you have to tell the kid that'll maybe not make him happy today, but it's for a better future for him. It'll, you know, a kid will cry because they want ice cream, ice cream, ice cream. And you're like, all right, here's ice cream. Right. But was that necessarily a good thing that he's happier now? Nah, I don't
think absolutely not.
Right. So when I say stigma, the reason I say that is because when we're in a bad place, like all of us, including myself and including every guru, Anthony Robbins, everyone that you know, when you're in a bad place, we tend to love excuses. What we tend to hate when we're in a bad place is accountability.
I love that.
Yeah. And here's what's crazy. And I'll explain a little more how I came about with that. But accountability, what happens is, so when you tell someone, when we started saying this, you know, when I was growing up and all of a sudden people started saying, you know, to get rid of stigma, they kept saying, you have mental illness. There's nothing you can do about it. Guess what you just did? You just told someone you're not accountable for your mental health issues. It is not your fault. So what happens is you just told someone that they're not accountable for it. You also, not only are you taking away accountability, you're taking away hope because you said there's nothing you can do about it. So when you take away hope, it makes people worse. But if you had just told someone, yeah, they may hate hearing it in the very beginning, like, yo, you're the one who put yourself in there. You're kicking your own ass. It's so much better for them. Yeah, you hurted their feelings right then and there. But in the long run, that's what they needed to hear so that they know, like, it's... they can do something about it, you know?
Yes, I absolutely love that. I really do. Because me, myself, I struggle with, you know, I struggle with depression, issues, a lot of things like that, like, you know, growing up. So it's, and I never knew like what was wrong. You know, I was like, well, what's wrong with me could have been my childhood. Is it something, you know? So now they'll give you, they automatically diagnose me with gender dysphoria. They automatically diagnose you with depression, anxiety, all these things. And sometimes it could be like something that happened to you as a kid, or maybe it could be something that you're going through. But it's about, you know, like you were saying, you know, they diagnose us with these things and just throw medication at us and say, oh, you can't help with what you feel like. You know, really there's steps towards it. And really you have to, like, if you want to change something, you know, like just like depression and on all those things, you know, you got to get up and you got to make yourself like more, you know, I guess once you have a purpose and a goal, like you have more of a willpower to go towards that goal. So once you start working on it, you know, then that can help your depression situations. That's how I learned, because I mean I've dealt with depression for a long time, and I've had suicidal tendencies and thoughts and, you know, all those things. But I had to realize, you know, that it wasn't the medications the doctor was giving me to make them go away. I have anxiety attacks that are so bad sometimes that they give me medication to help it, because sometimes I'll have anxiety so bad that I'll literally feel like I'm going to die, and I'll have them and I'll beg people for help to help me like. Thinking I'm really going to die because my mind's thinking that because my anxiety is so bad. But a lot of it's just maybe the trauma and stuff that I've gone through, but I have to like help myself. I got to figure out a way to overcome it myself, you know, instead of being diagnosed with something, you know, that is going to that's going to make me feel that I have a problem, you know, and I can't change it. So I definitely understand where you're coming from. And I have never heard anyone come up and say anything like that, because most people that I on the show or have just here in general are going to take this point of view and say, okay, well, mental health is a problem, and you have depression is an issue, and you need to take some medication for it.
Right, right. And that's what the biggest thing I'm trying to put out there, because I've kind of clashed with even mental, you know, the mindset coaches and things like that. And they still don't understand. Like, so let me just kind of rehash kind of everything you mentioned for your listeners, right? So you were talking mm-hmm. about how you're going through gender dysphoria and this and that. So your main problem really is just self-esteem issues. And that really is it. A lot of people get this idea that it's you're being depressed is abnormal. It's not. It's fucking normal. When you don't feel good, you're going to feel bad. But what I don't like that you keep saying is that you have depression, you have anxiety. That doesn't exist. That is the result. That is not the cause. Something is making you anxious. Basically, your perspective on your situation is what makes you anxious. That's why you have anxiety. Your perspective on your situation, you think it's shit, but it's really it's your perspective on your life that's shit. And then you get depressed. And now you have depression. Depression is not the cause. So because society fucking does that, what happens is when you have the result being the cause, you have a never-ending circle that you will never defeat, because you're not looking at the root cause. Your root cause, your issue is your self-esteem. You need to build that up, because the problem with you is not how people are seeing you. It's because what you think people are seeing you. Right? Because most of the people today, they're okay with it, but you still have this notion like, yeah, but they're looking at me and this. And it always happens once you have that, but it's because of your self-esteem issues. And that's something you need to work on. So everything you complain about is actually a roadmap of all the things you can work on, you know? So when you're looking at that, and the men's, you know, we're just being taught all these wrong things. And what I'm trying to give to you is like, dude, you're accountable for it. When you say like, oh, I went through this trauma, the trauma wasn't the fucking problem. It's how you perceive that trauma. Because that same trauma, I don't know what you experienced. Some other people experienced it, but how the hell did they get out? So that wasn't the cause. The cause is always a verb. It's happening. It's not, because if it stopped happening, that means it's not happening anymore. So there's a verb happening. What is your perspective? What are you thinking about that's causing you to be so fucking anxious? And now you have anxiety. Yeah. So that's what you really need to figure out. What is your thought pattern? What are you thinking about? Well, for example, I was talking to this one guy, right? Because he was like, yo, what do you mean? Like, I take pills for anxiety. And I said, all right, let's have a talk. You know? Tell me your story. He goes, well, you know, when I get in a car, you know, what'd he say? He said, yeah, I have anxiety. It's like every time I go in a car. And I'm just like, okay, a lot of people drive cars and they don't do that. So tell me what's making you anxious. Like, what's making you anxious?
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard. Was hard, but not anymore, thanks to WonderSuite from Bluehost. Answer a few questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make...
Okay, when I go in the car, I feel like, you know, I'm going to either hurt myself or hurt someone else. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Let me get this straight. When you go in a car and you go behind a wheel, you think you're going to hurt yourself and probably hurt someone else? That would cause anyone to be anxious. Anyone. That's why now you have anxiety. But you didn't need pills to get rid of it. The pills are only good for, it's really just a reaction to the symptom or to the problem. right? The trauma itself mm-hmm. wasn't the problem. It's what's causing it. What's the verb? What's happening? And so that's what you really need to focus on. What is causing you to be anxious? What's causing you to be depressed? A lot of times, or almost 100% of the time, it's really your perspective. Look at everyone that got out of it. Stop looking at everyone that's depressed. Stop looking at everyone that have fucking issues. That's like studying the poor people to be rich. It doesn't make any sense. Right. Look at the people that are happy today. The problem is people have a misconception. They think that shit's permanent, the same way they think depression is permanent. It's a temporary response. Yeah. No one's permanently fucking happy. No one. You think someone's permanently happy is insane. It's insanity.
I agree with you 100%. But I've never had no one even, you know, come and say that. And that's a good way of thinking, because, you know, we're all capable of being depressed. We're every single one of us in this world. We're all capable of having anxiety. We're all capable of that. But it's right. It's how we perceive the information there and perceive certain things and how we take it in and how we decide to change the situation. And that's what's going to affect us in the long term. You know, these medications, they're not helping us for the long term. They're only helping us for that moment in time. You know, so it's kind of like taking medication is not going to help the issue. You know, it's just going to, to me, it just seems like it makes it worse. And I quit taking all of my psych medication. I take no psych meds now. I try to handle things on my own, you know, and I went to drug addiction. And I went to all these things. But like you said, it's about trying to, you know, understand the problem and trying to really fix it. And understand it's not a mental health issue. You're not crazy. You're just going through a tough time, really, just like everyone else goes through. And it's the time to, we have to learn how to try to get over it. We have to try to find some better things to do. And we need people to help us, like maybe a coach or something like that, you know, but the doctors are always just going to make you feel like you have mental problems. Like it's, mm-hmm. that's exactly what they always point out to. So half the time I really don't need help guidance anymore when it comes to like psych doctors. And our reality, they don't really help. I've had people on my show that go through, like, go over PTSD. I can understand, you know, some of those types of things. I can understand, like, how certain things could be a mental health issue. But as far as, like, you know, anxiety and depression and all those things, those are all just, you know, those are problems that could all be solved.
So just to go back to what you were saying, you know, like with the pills and all that stuff. So just like in the physical diet, I mean, physical health, doctors are awesome for reaction. They're there when it's already too freaking late. When you have diabetes, go to the doctor, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't go to the doctor and call them in advance and say like, hey, how should I eat? What's the best, healthiest way so that I don't get diabetes? You don't call them for that at all. They're there when you have it. Same thing with your doctors for psychiatry and all that stuff. You go there because you're already messed up. You feel that way at least, right? But the problem is you're doing nothing about the cause, and they're only talking about the result. They're only trying to remedy your result. But it's the same thing as meditation, yoga. Like, dude, you're going to do a lot of yoga. Why don't you forgive your dad first? You know, like, so you really need to look at the root cause first, because everything you're trying to do is just remedying the result, the depression, that's the result, dude. But what is causing it? If you don't go back there and figure that out, it doesn't make sense what you're doing, because everything that you do is not going to help, because all you're doing is trying to remedy the result. That doesn't do anything. That's like, you know, if the cause is still there, for example, I always try to use the physical health so people can understand. Yeah, you go to a doctor when you have diabetes. And for people that are listening, I'm not saying don't take the freaking pills. What I'm saying is when you have diabetes, take insulin. But can you please also stop eating sugar every day? I'm just saying that's the cause, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense when you're getting insulin, but then still eating sugar every day and going like, man, my diabetes is really acting up. Like, you sound like an idiot, because it's the same way people say, like, man, my depression is really high today. Like, what do you mean? No one was walking around going like, man, my happiness is awesome today. Woo! You know, or my anger. Or those are just all emotions based on what? Your perspective on a certain situation. And it's a temporary response. The key word is response. It's not the cause. It's the response. It's what are you responding to, though? Yeah. Now, with what you were saying before, you know, you're not looking for this. Look, no one helps you. You're the only one that can cure you. Ask any freaking therapist. Ask anyone that went through how to be better. No one tells you to be better. What you need to, the question you need to freaking really ask yourself is, now what? Okay, you have these issues. Okay, that happened. Okay, that happened in your past. Your dad sucked. Your parents sucked. Oh, okay, this happened too. Oh, great. Let's list it all out and complain about it. Now what?
Right, now, exactly. You know? So what practical strategies or tools do you recommend for individuals to actively change their perspectives and foster positive mental health habits in their daily lives?
Okay, so the first thing is I want people to understand, because I don't like when people just think about tactics, right? Because you forget them. What I want people to have is to have a good understanding. I'm hoping just a conversation so far alone has helped people kind of understand, like, that one, you're accountable, and two, look at the cause and just not the result. So stop blaming depression, stop blaming alcohol, stop blaming all these nouns, because the cause is a verb. Okay, so that's the first thing. Just knowing that, I'm hoping people are already thinking differently. So already your perspective on mental health is changing, right? But when we're talking about this, as far as changing a perspective and stuff, first of all, perspective is looking at something differently, right? Well, how do you know which one is going to be the right one? So something has to have like a compass, almost like a directional something. Like there has to be a source that tells you, well, which one's the good way and which one's the bad way, right? So again, I reverse engineered everything. So we went from a decision. What influences the decision? The perspective. Okay. How do you know which perspective? You need a purpose. That's your why. So the reason I have to tell this to people is because this is where it helps. A lot of times when you say like, well, how do we people, you know, think about the perspective? This is what you do. Basically, when people say that, what they're saying is like, yo, I feel lost, right? I don't know what to do. I feel a little lost. Let me ask you this question. What do you do when you're driving in your car and you're lost? What do you do? What you do is probably pull over or look at your phone and look for directions, right? Mm-hmm. So when people are feeling lost, my first question to them all the time is going to be, well, where the fuck are you going? You know? because if you don't know where you're going, then you're always going to be lost. Doesn't matter if make a left, right, straight, whatever. Everything that you do is going to be wrong. So you really need to figure out a destination, right? Where you're going. So when you look at your GPS on your phone and you're lost, that better have a destination on there or it doesn't work, right?
Right.
So when you take the time to figure out where you're going, see, a lot of people are not taking the time. So it's almost like they're in the car and what they're telling me is like, yo, I'm lost. And then they just keep driving. Oh, yo, I'm lost. Oh, and but you're just going to keep driving? Like, that's insanity. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
That's what people are doing. So now let's say you took the time, right? Let's say you can't find it and you don't have your phone for GPS. What do? You ask for directions. You ask for help to get where you're going. Again, you need to know where the fuck you're going or else no one can help you. If you don't know where you're trying to go, who you're trying to be, there's no one in the world that can help you. No one.
Right.
Because you don't even know where you're going. So now, let's say you know where you're going now. Ah, shit. You missed it freaking 3 days ago. You missed the turn way back there. Doesn't matter. One cool thing my brother always told me, don't worry when you get lost. All roads are connected. And basically, once you figure out where you're trying to go, now you know how to get there. Yeah, it might have delayed, you know, your ability to get there quicker. You might have to backtrack, go back there. You might go through traffic. So this is just kind of a metaphor with your life, right? So yeah, it's going to take you now. You're going to have to go backwards and get to where you're trying to go because you fucked up. You made a left, right, whatever it is. You messed up. But at least now you know where to go. It's just going to take a little bit longer to get there. But you just need to know where you're trying to go. And more important than where you're going and, you know, is why are you going there? That's your purpose. So yes. The biggest problem with the purpose is that people are being taught like, yo, Jojo, you have to find your purpose. Okay, you create your purpose, just like a business, a mission. A mission is just like a purpose. Here's the thing, no one knows how to create a purpose. They have no clue. So I've figured it out a little bit. At least this is the best thing I've told people. There's two major characteristics when you come up with a purpose. Number one, it has to benefit and provide value to other people, not yourself. Number two,
right?
Just like the cause, it must be a verb. That's maybe why they say a purpose is also a cause. It must be a verb. So here's my example that I always use. Rock stars, right? They're still committing suicide. Even though when they were young, what's your purpose? To be a rock star, right? So what happens when you have a noun, it's finite, right? It doesn't keep on going. So instead of trying to say a noun, I'm going to be the best this, or I'm going to be this person, or whatever it is, it's all nouns. It's not going to work because it's finite. What you need is something, again, benefits other people and has to be a verb. So you, typically it'll start with to something, to empower, to help, to assist, to something, to help other people in some way, shape, or form, basically.
Right.
So if a musician, instead of saying, I want to be a rock star, what if the musician instead said, my goal is, or my purpose is to inspire people with my music to help them go through the same issues that I did and maybe help them throughout their lives? When does that stop?
Right.
Does it matter if there was one person in the audience? Does it matter if there's 10,000? You're always concerned about benefiting someone. So what happens is you now don't put your focus on yourself the same way people are now getting fucked up on social media because of how many followers the other person has, the life the other people have. When you focus on the value you're providing other people, you're less concerned about what's happening to you because you think you're the center of the universe. You think everyone's looking at you the way you're thinking they're looking at you. But when you have a friend, I'm pretty sure you don't give a shit what they do for a living as long as they're freaking awesome to you, right?
Right, exactly.
And you think they care about you. So, and again, that's just a perspective on your situation. That's all it is.
Right.
So
what is your future goal?
Say it again.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
What are your future goals and aspirations in the realm of mental health advocacy? What you for which you're on your not?
Yeah. So I haven't been as active as I wanted to be because I've been working on a different project. So I'm actually dealing with immersive experiences, the metaverse, basically. And the thing that I'm trying to do is create a place where we can host events so that more people can attend and get speakers from around the world to go on there in a metaverse environment. Because when you have a metaverse environment, you're more likely to talk to other people. And instead of like having a Zoom meeting where people are like hiding their faces in this, what if you were able to walk around in a venue after someone's speaking, or you have three speakers or something, and then talking to other people? And, you know, you're not going to feel obligated. You don't mind sharing your stories and stuff like that. I think that's where I really want to take it, hosting these events proactively and maybe hopefully getting students or, in colleges, high schools, even military, or anyone that really could use the help, the Alcoholics Anonymous or whatever it is, like, let's host these things where people can attend for free. And that's what we're really doing with Start Day One. We're hoping we get enough funding so that we can provide free speakers and free venues in the metaverse where we're paying for it and people can just attend for free, whether it's a kid in high school or whatever, rather than bringing someone in, you know, waiting for a teacher to bring in a speaker at their school. You know, why not just tell everyone, hey, there's a thing tonight, you know, you attend this thing or whatever, and you see your friends in there, so it becomes a little more social and stuff like that. So that's kind of where I'm kind of want to take this.
Yes. And if our listeners are interested, more interested in your work, where could they go?
Basically, if you just go to the website, it's probably the best. All the links to social media is there anyway. So it's startdayone.org.
Yes, I love that. And that concludes another impactful episode of JoJo's Empowering Journey. A heartfelt thank you to Ricardo Zuleta for sharing his profound insights and inspiring us to all rethink our perspectives on mental health. Thank you so much for being on my show. Honestly, I loved it. I loved having you on my show today.
Hey, thank you so much. Remember, I appreciate it.
No problem. Remember, listeners, your journey is unique and the power to shape your reality lies within your hands. As we wrap up, I encourage you to reflect on Ricardo's words and consider how you can actively choose positive perspectives in your own life. Value in today's episode, share it with someone who might benefit. Together, we can spread awareness, difference in the world of mental health. Before we go, I want to express my gratitude to each and every one of you for joining us on this empowering journey. Your support means the world. Stories or suggestions,
feel free to reach out
on our social
media. My website at
www.jojospodcastshows.com. Next time, stay resilient, stay compassionate, and all power to shape your own empowering journey. Take care and
JoJo's Empowering Journey.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Kia K5 GT and Kia Forte GT owner, this is your reminder to breathe. See that sophisticated interior? Enjoy those sensations. And now, imagine how you look from the outside and that speed that only a Kia GT sedan can give you. Sorry, I can't help but get excited.
For those lives full of thrilling emotions, the all-powerful, all-fun Kia GT sedans.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Limited inventory available. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely.